Thank you once again for listening to the Baseball Dads. Hello, Jeff Zito.
Hello, Travis Daly.
Before we go any further, congrats on your kid getting his transfer and signing with a new school.
Yeah, thanks. I was that's where I was last week, so we weren't able to record the podcast. It was kind of business related, but what you told me was really exciting, and that was that we have a population in Indonesia, or is it Thailand, that listens to the podcast?
There was a dude from Indonesia that goes, why didn't you drop, he hit me on Twitter, why didn't you drop a podcast this week? And then here's the other thing, there was about a dozen other people, so I know there's at least 13 people downloading it, that were like, hey, are you guys this lazy already? Four episodes in and you're done?
You know, it was really funny. I was watching like HBO or something and I found out, I think it's Indonesia, there is a community of ladyboys and it's a culture that I never knew existed. So maybe we're talking to ladyboys in Indonesia and I just want to say hello.
That's not exactly at all where I was going with this. We have our friend Chris, who's an umpire, who throughout the previous podcasts, we had said, if you have a question about something that comes up, just email us and we'll get you an answer from Chris. And we have people listening to this podcast that have kids that are just starting Little League, they're playing pony ball, all the way to help us get our kid to college. And so beyond talking about the lessons that we've learned to try and help you through that recruiting process, we also talk smack about a bunch of things with baseball. But one of the other things is we do want to teach, and when we have resources like an umpire, you know, we want to answer those questions.
Sure.
So that you're not one of the guys behind the backstop looking like a jackpipe because you don't know some basic rules.
What the hell? What are you calling him out for? He dropped the dang ball.
So, Chris, if you would, I think dropped third strike was probably the most emails we got about. Could you walk us through how that works?
Absolutely. So, drop third strike, again, I have two strikes on you, obviously. The catcher does not catch that third strike. It could be either a looking strike three, or you could be a swinging strike three. Doesn't matter. Again, bottom line is the ball is dropped. The catcher then has to try to get the batter runner out, because he then becomes a batter runner trying to advance to first base. The catcher can then either tag the batter runner or kind of step out and throw to first base and complete the out that way. One little caveat to that, and kind of a little trick, if there is a guy on first base with less with two outs or more, if there's a guy on first base with two outs or more, the batter can then advance to first base. Okay.
That is where, I'll tell you, Chris, that's where I see the most people get confused, is that so if there's no outs or one out and first base is open, then drop third strike, batter can run and try and make it. If first base is occupied, there has to be two outs for him to try and run. That's the thing that I see parents go crazy on because they don't understand the rule.
That's the key. Yeah, it has to be less than two outs, first base unoccupied there if he wants to be able to run. If there's two outs and the base is occupied, he is able to run.
So, Chris, how does that go down in the book? It goes down as a strikeout in the book, but then again, it's not an out if he makes it safely to first.
Absolutely. That's correct. So it'll be a K, and then it won't be an out.
All right. So the other one that I got a lot of emails about, which I'm glad, by the way, because this is the other one that, you know, you'll probably correct me on this, but I think they've even kind of changed the rule a couple of times in the last 15 years. But so we have a batter in the box that's hitting, and we have, I don't know, every three or four games I go to, you'll have somebody going, that's battery interference. It got in the way of the catcher throwing to second base. Come on, Blue.
Yep. And again, that's really all judgment call in the umpire side. So that's where I'll start with that at first. It's all judgment call. However, there are, you know, times where the batter does interfere with the, you know, catcher making a throw to third base, for example. You know, the batter will step out of the box, get right in that throwing lane, and interfere with that. So in that case, and as an example here, I have a guy at second base running to third base, okay? The catcher goes to throw the guy out at third base. I have a batter that steps out of the box, gets in between that throw there, and the ball hits the batter. You know, then I have the interference on the batter, you know, moving out of the way. The batter is supposed to stay in the box and try to avoid any kind of essentially interference.
That is one of the big distinctions is the batter owns the box in a sense, but that doesn't also mean that he can just stand there and get in the way. You know, the second, is this an accurate statement? The second the batter steps out of the box, it's a lot more likely for interference than staying in the box.
Yes. Yep, that's accurate. Now, again, I caveat it with it's in the umpire's judgment. So let's say the batter steps out and ducks down to the ground, and the throw is able to go straight through. That's not interference because he stepped out.
What if I swing and I just stand there? It's part of my normal stance, but I just stand there, and I'm like 6'5". I didn't necessarily try and get in the way, but I'm just gigantic.
So if in my judgment as the umpire, you did your motion, your full swing motion, and didn't hinder the catcher or whoever making the play, then no.
So should the catcher's trying to make the throw, guy standing right in his way, should the catcher just go ahead and bean the batter right in the helmet like he's just trying to make his throw and then he would get the interference call or no?
From an umpire's perspective, I would say you would want to try to avoid hitting somebody in the head. From a catcher's perspective, I would just straight drill it as hard as I can to the base, and whatever happens, happens.
Got it.
You know what's interesting about that, too, is I didn't, Chris, I didn't tell Jeff that you were a catcher, so I should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son was a catcher, and a lot of the a lot of things that would happen to him were when he would reach his glove out on maybe a curveball, or you know he would have his left hand out extended a little bit too far, and the batter would hit the catcher's glove while he was swinging, and he would get interference on him.
Yep, catching interference, and that would be essentially catching interference. And yeah, if the bat comes in contact while the batter is swinging through on his initial swing and the catcher's glove is hit, then yeah, it is catcher's interference, and you'll get called every time.
So with catcher's interference, they put the guy on first base. Let me ask you this question. What if the batter goes ahead and makes a wild swing? Is it also the umpire's discretion when the batter is taking a wild swing, like, you know, letting go with one hand and he's reaching way back on his follow through and he hits the catcher? Is that ever called?
So it's not necessarily called by a rule. It would be more of a safety rule. And then that would obviously go as you go up through the ages, but it'd be more of a safety rule. I would, in that situation, warn the player, hey, you know, stay within the box. Again, I'd make sure that they're staying within the box and not having a foot outside of it when they're kind of going through their backswing, those type of things. But it would be more of a warning type thing or an ejection for, not following directions.
I've seen the catcher get called. I've seen a catcher interference on that and almost a brawl break out.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Well, and I've seen batters too, like once that white chalk is gone, I'll see sometimes there'll be a batter that steps way back and the swing is natural. It's just he's out of the box, but most good umps will catch all that, you know.
Correct.
So, you know, those were kind of the ones that we had the most emails about. You know, you umpire a lot of games. Are those the ones you feel like you get, besides everybody questioning what's a strike and a ball, are those the ones you feel like the parents shout the most about, or is there anything else that there tends to be a lot of noise on from behind the dugout when you're umping, or do you tune all that out?
Okay, so they do complain a lot about, you know, box is another big one, you know, just because they don't see everything. They're talking on the, you know, sides, and then they kind of turn real quick. It could just be a little twitch of something that the pitcher did that caused the balk, and you didn't see it. So that's kind of one thing that I see. The other one is the strike zone. I just don't see how you guys see it from back on the backside. You dads out there looking at the strike zone, it's pretty tough. But, those are really the two that I kind of see.
So prior to my son telling me to shut up, you didn't appreciate me being 30 feet away telling you how to do your job.
Yep, exactly.
So when was the last time, Chris, you've ever been involved in any sort of an altercation because of a rowdy dad that thought that maybe you calling balls and strikes weren't as accurate as he was calling them up 30 feet in the stands?
So I was doing a two situations here, actually. So one, a 9 and 10 year old team.
That's where it's at.
They were not. They weren't too bad. They were complaining, you know, early on. They had a call go against them, and then all of a sudden, my strike zone to them just sucked. So I made a call. They were just hoop and holler. Between one of the innings, I went out of the field. You know, a little back stop had a gate, and then the stands were right there. Sat right next to him. I go, hey guys, it does, you know, sound like you guys are seeing this way better than I am. I'm come hang out with you guys here and see what's up. And they all just started laughing so hard. And I didn't hear a single thing after that. They were all just okay with it.
Oh, wow.
That was a good one. The other one was a JV game. Don't remember the teams, but one of the dads got so pissed off. His son was pitching, got so pissed off. I wasn't giving him, a pitch outside, maybe a good two balls outside. Just wasn't doing it. He tried to come on the field. Coaches kind of had to hold him back, threw him out of the park, all that stuff. But I was like, really, dude, you're going to try to come on the field on a game here? Come on.
Oh, I've seen it, man. I've seen it. When you said 9 years old, I think that was the time I saw it. It was a younger umpire and our coach in the heat of the moment. And I know I saw a fist clinch. And we were 9 years old at the time, man.
Yep. Oh, I've seen everything where people go out and get bats from the cars or things like that. I'm like, what's going on? So it's fun though. It gets interesting. Keeps you on your toes. That's what I'll say.
And you know what's weird about it, too? It's always like the pool game. It's never the championship game. It's never, it's not the district game. It's like, it's always the game. It's the games that mean nothing that people usually get the, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but a lot of the games that mean nothing are the ones that people get the most worked up about. It's crazy.
So low-key, those games on Sunday, once you lose, those are not the games you want to be umpiring, as an FYI. So give those umpires a little slack.
Was it you, and maybe I'm thinking of our other friend, but wasn't it you or maybe your dad that had the racquetball and the bat thing? Was that you?
I don't know. That wasn't me. No.
Have you ever seen anything? Have you ever caught a kid with a shaved or a rolled bat or stuffed with super balls? Or have you ever seen one of those bats?
I have not. No.
Wow. Okay.
And we had to check, we had to check a lot of bats too in high school because that would be one of the things that, that helmets, all that good stuff.
Well, what happens? How do you check the bats? Like, how are you going to know that one's stuffed with a bunch of super balls?
So you pick them up just to make sure that, weight wise, you check the certification tags on there. You make sure that, like, the end cap isn't popped off or isn't, messed with. You don't see a screwdriver, markings on there essentially. And then again, with the helmets, cracks or anything like that. But can you really, really tell? No, but you just kind of go by markings on the bat.
Let's give some help to the hitters. So let's say that I'm at the plate and I strongly disagree with your strike zone. I have told my kid what my dad kind of used to tell us back in the day. So if I'm at the plate and you're umping, and there's a ball that I absolutely don't agree with, I don't want to argue with you, but would you get mad if I asked something like, so was that low and outside? Like, do you get mad if what should a batter say to you, and then what should a batter not say to you as an umpire? And I don't necessarily mean you, because I do think you're like the most professional dude I've ever seen. But, broad strokes, if we're taking the middle of umpiring where there's some good, some bad, what do you think a batter can say that won't make can they say anything to an ump without, making you mad and then everything is going to be a strike after that?
So I think it depends, like the kind of relationship that you have with the ump throughout the game, right? So if you get up there first pitch of the game and, you start asking questions, I think that's kind of the route I would go is, hey, was that outside? Like you said before, I would stay away from, move that ball's outside. What are you seeing? Like that's not a strike. I would stay away from that stuff. But I would ask, ask a question. Hey, Blue, you got that outside? Is that a ball, two balls outside? Just little things like that. Don't make it, like you're showing him up, but make it like, oh, I'm trying to be strategic in how I'm playing the game.
Okay, yeah.
So don't draw a line in the sand on where you thought the ball was way inside.
Yeah, yeah. Or don't walk across the plate to the other side and, you know, kind of mark your cleat where you thought it was. That's a bad idea, too.
Yeah, I could see that being a bad idea.
What are like the top couple of things that somebody shouted at you that you just remember? Has anybody come up with anything? Like, one of the things that Jeff and I were talking about in a previous podcast is I could go to any game, 8U or my kid's high school game or Jeff's kid's college game, and you hear the same thing. Too much plate. Oh, it must be his uncle. Oh, you kind of hear the same stuff. Have you ever heard anything that really stood out? Maybe it even made you laugh and you're like, all right, that was a good one, you know?
So I guess one that kind of drives me a little crazy is the, you got somewhere to be.
I've pulled that one out. We've all pulled that one out. Oh, it looks like it's happy hour. Looks like Blue wants to get to Applebee's for a 2-for-1.
Yep, exactly. So, and again, for me, it's like, I'm out here. I don't have anywhere to go. Like, I'm out here for a reason. You know, like you're saying, like, I'm here to do a job. But, you know, that's kind of how I think umpires think of it. So it's that one. And the other one was, oh, you're screwing the kids here. You know, you don't care about the kids. You're not doing that. And again, if we didn't care about, you know, the kids or, you know, the players or whatever, we wouldn't be out there. I mean, again, we enjoy the game just as much as everybody else does. And I think that that's what kind of gets lost is, you know, we want to be a part of the game in a, you know, very even way, or I guess what's another word for it?
Neutral way.
There we go. Exactly. Neutral way. And get out of there. I mean, that's all they want to do.
So, for instance, if the ump was like 150 and you said, hey, I know it's 2 hours past your dinner time, you probably wouldn't appreciate that, right?
No, it wouldn't be a good move.
Yeah.
See, I try and come up with new things that people haven't said.
Yeah, it's all about having fun. You know, I think for the most part, the guy that's not taking himself too seriously back there can have just as much fun with it as the guy that's, you know, yelling from the stands. Because let's face it, 90% of the time, it's all in good fun. You know, sometimes the guy is very serious and he'll turn around and he'll be like, okay, out of you, one more. It's like, I'm just having a good time. You could tell I don't mean anything by it, you know, but you gotta read the room. And this is what you were asking before, Travis, about like, what can the kid say to the umpire? This is something I've taught my kid from the time he was a little kid. Read the room. All of a sudden, the guy doesn't say too much to you. Don't ask him a bunch of questions. The ump is chatting you up back there. Hey, what's your name? Mom, my name's Jacob. Hey, my name's Phil. And you guys are making friends? Well, read the room. Maybe you can be a little more chatty with that guy than the guy that's not. You know, you just kind of got to be aware of your surroundings. It's a sociology kind of deal.
Hey, can I give one more tip there? Any catchers out there, if you first thing you should do if you're out on the first inning, say what's up to the umpire. You know, get his name, say hi. You know, just get that talking relationship, chat him up essentially, and that starts that relationship. And then from there, you guys are talking throughout the game. Hey, you know, I would be telling my catcher, hey, I got that one ball inside, I got that ball down, I got that ball up. You know, just to kind of, you know, let them know where they're missing and help them out. So that's kind of some of the things that I would do, or kind of tips I would give.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were a catcher and umpire, so is that the same rule kind of applies, right? Like, it's probably okay to ask a question in a, hey, I'm just really trying to understand way, rather than question. Is that still accurate?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, again, I'll be able to frame it as a catcher. I'll be able to frame a pitch a little more, and the umpire will give you that pitch, you know, more than you'll think if you have that relationship chatting him up.
Chris, have you ever, on a third strike, calling like a little league game or like a, you know, 9-year-old kid's game, have you ever punched out a kid like, you know, on a strike 3 call that was just so over the top? Maybe you just got caught up in the moment. And you're like, ah! And you punched him out, and the kid just started to cry.
That started to cry. I have not over the top. Again, I have one strike call, and I do that. But I've had Ed make some kids cry, I've got to be honest with you. Calling them out at home plate at the last out of the game, or strike three, last out, they've cried. But, no over-the-top stuff. I keep my strike three call the same every time, very uniformed, very precise.
I've seen it happen where the umpire just, he was in the heat of the moment, man. And, you know, maybe just, and it was just like, it was a great pitch. But, the kids were 9 or 10. And he was like, ah! And he just, like, punched them out. And the kid just, all this waterworks just right there. And I felt so bad. Some of the parents were getting upset about it. It's like, did you really need to do that? I was like, come on. The guy was in the heat of the moment. I would have done the same thing.
This is why Jeff wants to be an umpire right here. This
is it.
This is why. He wants to ring up 9-year-olds and make them cry and just be, ah, you're out of here.
Isn't it in Compton? Isn't the umpire school in Compton, California?
There are, actually, no, they're over here in Florida. There's the, I'm trying to think of the name.
Just like an umpire, not to know where he got his training.
I'm going.
P-Bucket is the minor league school. So essentially you go to a school for 6 weeks here. I think it's on the east coast of Florida. You get a grade out of that. The folks that get the good grades, essentially the top 10% of them go to the next level. Then they get evaluated from there. Then the top like 1 or 2% get contracts to low A ball and the minors, and just start working all of these different leagues.
Can I ask a question? And as my friend, you promised not to get mad.
Sure.
Is there a shortage of you guys? Because I will say, in all the years I've been watching my kid play, it seems like this year is the greatest disparity between really good umps and the exact opposite of that. Is there a shortage right now that you know of high school umps?
There isn't a shortage. I just know it's a very tight group that does the umpiring for high school, and they keep their ranks kind of together and keep the same group of folks out there. So a little tough to break in if you want to do some stuff around here, unless you want to work some Little League games and things like that. But the organization that has it has a tight group of guys.
See, it's like an umpire mafia here
you know
in Tampa.
And you know what the problem is? I'm getting Junior Soprano half the time with the crappy calls at Zins games is what's happening.
Oh, boy. Yep. Oh, boy, you can't say nothing to that guy. They'll break somebody's legs.
That's why they have all the attitudes, man. I'm just saying.
Wow. I mean, there are some really good ones in fairness, but I will say this year has been the greatest disparity that I've seen, where there's like, it's either really good or it's like really bad. And, you've taught me to behave better. when Zen sat me down and said, dude, you represent me also. So you need like...
God, that's got to feel bad when a kid says that to his dad.
Oh, I can't wait till he goes to college. I might go to a game where I don't have a vested interest. I'm just going to get it all out of my system.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
Good idea.
Well, dude, thank you. Thank you for all the info. We can have Chris on anytime, and I think we'll do this sporadically as the different questions come in. If you witness something at a game and you're wondering, why was it called that way? Or, like, here's how you learn. We didn't mention anybody's name. So you can email us, and it's not like we're going to say, well, Jeff Zito doesn't know what an infield fly is.
What a dumbass.
This is the purpose of this podcast, is to educate, whether it's 8U or, and I'm not guaranteeing we know everything. I'm just saying if we don't know, we're going to find somebody that does know. And Chris, I know you're an excellent resource for this sort of stuff. I now know that Jeff is going to need to go to that umpire school on the other side of the Florida so he can ring up 9-year-olds.
I really have the dream. Yeah.
Jeff, I can get you started in about 2 weeks if you want umpire.
That's awesome, man. Don't worry. I'm going to be getting a hold of you. We're going to be fast friends.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you again, Chris. And so if you want to email us, it's baseballdads@z. Did we decide? Is it at Yahoo?
It's at Yahoo, yeah.
Okay.
We didn't decide. That's just where it is.
And our digital person, Rachel, like, look, I don't know how a lot of this stuff works. Neither does... We know about baseball and a couple other things. I don't know how this works, but Rachel's all over me about...
Subscribe.
Remind them to subscribe and do reviews, because if people give you reviews, good or bad, then your podcast will do better.
Did you see that one review from, like, Big League Chuck or something?
I don't want to read the reviews, because my worst fear is, you guys are terrible. Cancel this.
Yeah. Big League Chuck. He liked us.
I get enough of that on the radio show of, why are you on the air? I don't need it on the podcast also.
This was for fun.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Chris. And please tell your beautiful wife we said hello. And I will remind everybody, that there are good guys like Chris out there, so don't be jawing him because you can't see from 30 feet behind the plate.
Hey, congrats on the podcast, guys.
Thank you for being our official rules guy and umpire of the soon-to-be-famous Baseball Dads podcast, Chris. I'm sure we'll have you back on again real soon. Thank you for taking the time. Well, Jeff Cito, congratulations again on your boy.
Yeah, thanks. I want to know more about Chris's beautiful wife, you said, huh?
Yeah, he outkicked his coverage, bro, and she's one of the coolest people in the
world.
Oh,
boy. All right.
Well, you know, he's a buddy of ours, so she puts up with a lot.
I hear you. You just start throwing a beautiful wife out there, and all of a sudden, that's where my mind goes.
All right. Well, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it. Subscribe.
Subscribe and
reviews, whatever. Review. Until next time, rub some dirt on it.
Big League Chuck.
Yes, thank you, Big League Chuck.
3.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.